This is a CBC podcast.
And is the brewery district still a brewery district?
Well, the problem about the brewery district is there's no brewery in the
yeah,
brewery
that's
district.
What I was, yeah. Does it count?
It's always been one of my frustrations about it. They stole the name.
Hello, I'm Claire Bonnieman, and this is Edmonton, a local podcast from CBC News. Beer. It is a drink, it is a business, and it is definitely a culture. And craft beer has seen massive shifts here in Edmonton. We have two, kind of three neighborhoods dedicated to beer in our city. But that's a technicality we'll figure out later. I really wanted to get a sense of Edmonton's beer scene now and how we've gotten to this place over the years. So I went for a drink with Jason Foster, noted Alberta beer guy and the owner of onbeer.org, and Chelsea Tessier, co-founder and head brewer at Polyrhythm Brewing on the city's north side. Polyrhythm is newer to Edmonton's beer scene, although Chelsea isn't. A member of the homebrewing community for years, she and her husband Taylor opened Polyrhythm a year ago. We sat down in the upstairs of their tap room, and I drank a digital audio hazy IPA, which felt very fitting. And we talked about what craft beer means to Edmonton and to them.
When I had my first interview, they asked me what my hobbies were, and I had none because I just went through school, and so I was just studying. That was what I did. I didn't have any hobbies, so I figured, you know what, I don't really know anyone here either. And my coworker, who's still my really good friend, she lent me her homebrew kit, and then I made some beer at home. It was not very good the first couple of batches, but I have my science degree, and it allowed me also to be creative with it.
I was in university here at the University of Alberta as an undergrad. I was starting to like the flavors of beer. I remember sort of I had fallen in love with Big Rock's traditional ale around that point. This is like the late 80s, you know, going 1990. And so I was starting to explore beer flavors a little bit. And then I happened to have a friend who was doing these tin can homebrew kits. And he said, yeah, you can make beer really cheap with this. And so being a university student, I went, oh, I think I'm going to try that. Started, yeah, making these really bad. You can buy them at Superstore. They're these tins of malt syrup, and you add corn sugar and water and throw in this dried packet of yeast. And a week or two later, you've got something that tastes a lot like cider and not very much like beer. And it wasn't very good at first, but it really, something clicked in me. Something really got triggered.
It feels like every brewery has its thing, right? They all have some kind of identity to them, something that differentiates them. What is that for Polyrhythm?
Yeah, like our why. So myself being the brewer, and that's my love, and making beer. My husband, Taylor, he is a drummer. So we wanted to combine our interests so that it was meaningful to both of us. So polyrhythm, meaning two or more rhythms together to make a harmony. We also wanted to incorporate that with beer. So when you're combining two or more ingredients, and also the community, because we have so many diverse people in our community, and we want everyone to feel welcome in our space and make it really cozy with couches and fireplaces and rugs.
I'm on a very comfy couch. The fire feels lovely today. Yeah, that first year is harmonious or?
Lots of learning. There's still so much work, so much work to be done, but it feels like the ball is rolling and things are slowly getting a little bit easier.
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Jason, do we have an Edmonton craft beer identity?
There is something that feels distinctly Edmontonian to me, and that's that I feel like when I think about all the stories of the people who run the breweries in Edmonton, It's not people with tons of money. It's not people where, you know, they get some big investors and they come in and they drop $1 million and they, you know, go big. It's like average people following a passion, working people, trying to just make this work, make this happen. And I feel like that's a common story across the breweries that we see in this city. I feel like that's what kind of holds a lot of the Edmonton beer scene together, is that this sense that this is a working class city, and these are working class breweries. These are just people trying to build something that they're passionate about.
Our craft beer boom started in the early 2010s, and it wasn't isolated. From 2014 to 2017, the number of craft breweries in the province tripled. From 2015 to now, Alberta went from less than 30 breweries to 152 across the province, according to the AGLC. And in this big boom, Edmonton jumped along for the ride. And so did Jason, and his work covering and sharing the stories of the Western Canadian beer scene.
I would argue there's two main pieces to it. I mean, one is government policy in Alberta for many years actually actively hindered the growth of small production craft beer in the province, both because we had completely open borders, unlike any other province in the country, and we had these weird rules around minimum production capacities and other strange restrictions that made it very hard to open a small brewery. Those rules started to fall away, starting in sort of around 2012. The Notley government in 2015 really kind of jumped with both feet into trying to support the craft beer industry, changed a bunch of policies. Those policies, obviously, policies don't make an industry, but they kind of made the barriers fall away that created some space for brewers to actually kind of grab some shelf space, be able to open up a brewery, open up their tap room. And so I think that was the first piece, is that the legal and policy, political environment shifted. And I think the second piece is that Albertans around, the mid-teens, really started to figure out local. And it wasn't just in beer. Like, I think we saw this whole, especially in the bigger cities, this big rush towards understanding, local production, local sourcing helps the economy, it helps build communities. And so I think beer kind of got swept up in that sort of that embracing of local, and was able to kind of ride that wave. So I think we saw that across the province. Edmonton, I think, was a little bit slower, but I think certainly in the last 5 years it started to really, pick up some speed.
I feel like Calgary has tourism a little bit more to help them out. Like, they have almost double the amount of breweries that we have. And it's like a totally different scene out there. It's almost like anytime you go to a restaurant, there's craft beer everywhere in Calgary. It's not quite like that here in Edmonton yet.
And I think there's an economic one as well. I mean, if we look at Calgary compared to Edmonton, around the time that the craft beer scene was starting to grow, we were in a bit of an oil downturn, and Calgary had a lot of oil money that was sitting idle. And so we saw a lot of breweries be able to jumpstart because they were able to capture on some of that, that capital that was sitting being unused. It didn't happen in Edmonton. And so it continued to be the same old model of, a couple of people, a family, a few friends cobbling together the cash to be able to build their brewery, which is obviously a slower process, right?
That whole buy local, live local, it has become kind of a mantra for some people. How big is that feeling when it comes to Polyrhythm and what you see with people coming in and checking you out?
Well, we're in a different part of the city than everywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows Happy Beer Street. Here, what we're seeing is we do on Saturday afternoons, we get lots of families, so lots of people from the neighborhoods. In the summer, we get lots of people walking over from Woodcroft and Dovercourt. But it's different, and lots of families. So it's really nice to see. It's a different vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is still called the Hop Pocket. Is that
right?
Yeah. There's Happy Beer Street, the Hop Pocket.
Yeah.
And is the brewery district still a brewery district?
Well, the problem about the brewery district is there's no brewery in the brewery
That's
district.
That's what I was... Yeah. Does it count?
It's always been one of my frustrations about it. They stole the name. The brewery district, of course, is where the old Molson plant was in what is now Unity Square. And so they've renamed kind of that area, the brewery district, after the old historic Molson plant. But there is... there's no actual active brewing going on in that area.
No, there was at a couple points, but there's no.
There was, and at one point, Brewster's has a location there, and at one point was brewing there, but they're not brewing in that location anymore, and there's been a couple of breweries that have come and gone, but currently, there's nothing in that sector.
So there's two, we'll go with two neighborhoods.
Yes.
There's two actual neighborhoods. Edmonton's beer scene has had some shakeups. In recent months, we've seen some closures and a lot of breweries shifting or changing their model, trying to figure out a way to adapt, overcoming financial struggles and inflation. So if we had a beer boom, are we heading towards a beer bust?
Beer is not the only industry to be having some struggles right now, right? COVID, then followed by big inflation. That hit a lot, especially any industry that relies upon disposable cash, right? People's things that they can choose whether they're going to buy or not. They're having a hard time. And so we are, and I've said in my column recently that 2024 is not going to be the prettiest year in the beer industry in Alberta. We're going to see closures. We're going to see restructurings. We're going to see things happening. But that doesn't mean we're busting. I think what that's telling us is, A, this industry is weathering what have been bad times for a lot of people, but I think it's also a maturation of the industry. It's not usual for an industry for every single business that opens to succeed. That's not usual. And so I think we're just, it's falling now, I think, into a pattern of what a mature industry looks like.
You mentioned some of the challenges just of the first year. I think even the last few months, we heard you talking about the water ban and how that was affecting breweries.
Yeah.
What are some of those pinch points that you're finding of being an Edmonton craft brewery?
It's mostly my husband and I. So I'm doing all the brewing in the back. So for example, the water ban, that really sucked because my time is extremely limited as it is. I'm doing most things here in the tap room. I'm brewing, I'm doing social media, organizing, ordering, list goes on. And then to have a water ban where I can't brew for a week is like, okay, I guess I better reorganize my entire schedule and try to figure out how I can keep making beer, which at that time we were running low after the holidays. So that really hurt. And another thing that's been really tough and that we didn't account for was the rising interest rates. And it happens. So just some of the challenges. Just kind of roll with it.
You also take a lot of work in inclusivity and accessibility and really trying to make the beer industry in Edmonton a more accessible place, an equitable place. Why is that such an important thing for you?
I think for us, it was really important to include everyone in the community because both Taylor and I are not from Alberta. And moving here to a city where we didn't really know anyone and trying to make friends and trying to just go to a place and not feel uncomfortable, even if you just wanted to read a book or just hang out and talk to people at the bar, that was really important for us because we understand how it felt to just not feel comfortable. Just including people and trying to make people feel welcome was really important to us.
Recently, Polyrhythm has expanded on their diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, working with the Edmonton Association of the Deaf, or EAD, to put on Sip and Sign, an evening to introduce beer fans to ASL terminology and make the taproom more welcoming.
Well, we had done an event with them, I think it was last fall, where they just asked to book our taproom out, and Taylor had learned some sign language, which turns out it was all wrong. So he was learning on the fly. But their office is not too far away from here, so we would drive by it. Yeah, we would drive by it all the time, so we had reached out to them to see if they want to do any events with us. It was actually really cool. We encountered two different encounters at the beer fest, and Taylor knew a little bit of signs, so was able to communicate. And yeah, that was really fun.
There's stuff you may notice in tap rooms already that makes the space more accessible. Things like numbers on menus to make it easier to order. So instead of spelling out or signing Groove Machine Double Hazy IPA, you can just ask for number 5. Even just ramps to get in and out of the space are simple steps breweries and other businesses can and are taking. But there are other sides of the DEI Edmonton breweries are embracing. Things like the move towards non-alcoholic offerings and issues the Alberta beer scene is taking on, like the long-standing gender disparity associated with the industry.
And I think finally, maybe it's long overdue, I think breweries are starting to take diversity and equity seriously. I mean, for, you know, quite frankly, for the last quarter century, a lot of craft beer has been bro culture, right? And so that can be very exclusionary. It can make people feel very uncomfortable. And then obviously on the extremes of it, it can be downright toxic and dangerous, right? And so I think I am seeing encouraging signs of breweries trying to take this more seriously, actually figure out how do we as an organization make sure that we are treating our people properly and making sure that our public spaces are safe. And so I do see more and more, and I've interviewed a lot of new breweries over the years, and I'm noticing, you know, 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of talk about, oh, I want my brewery to be a welcoming open space that everyone can feel safe. I get a lot more of that now.
Do you think that comes because so many of Edmonton's breweries are led by folks who are just like, I love this, I want this place? It's not that corporate push. It's people being like, let's get the money together and make this place.
I think that's some of it. Yeah, I think that's some of it. I mean, I think when you're just getting people who want to build something that's a passion for them, they'll build in their values and they'll build in the things that matter to them, as opposed to, you know, having a big corporate structure where this is just their latest branch operation. Trust me, that happens as well. Very different culture there than when you come to Polyrhythm or you go to, you know, manual labor, or you go to one of the places where it is just husband-wife team or families or brothers or, you know, I think it makes a difference.
What do you think it means, Chelsea, to be an Edmonton brewery?
I mean, what it means for me is using local products. Like most of my grain, 95% of my grain is from Alberta, and I deal a lot with Keith from Hammer Malt, and he's in Westlock, and met him through the Homebrewing Guild and Penhold and for Red Shed Malt, and the rest of it is usually RAR. That's in Alex, Alberta.
We grow great barley in Alberta. I mean, I don't think that's boosterism. I think that is actual, like, a geographical, geological, biological fact. Like, Alberta and central Alberta in particular is just really great climate and soil for growing really quality barley. And so then if you get a really good malting process, you're going to get some really world-class, world-grade barley. I mean, we have a couple of big malt houses that have been around for decades that, you know, breweries from around internationally buy their malt because they know it's so good. But what's been really encouraging in the last few years is the growth of these craft malt houses. We're really quite lucky. Like, if you look at a lot of BC or Ontario or Quebec breweries, there's a lot less options for them.
My good friend Morgan used to be the sales rep from Red Shed, and she had mentioned that the central Alberta area has black soil, and so it's great for driving heavy machinery around and not compacting. So it's really good for the plants and the barley.
We were made to
there you go.
Make good beer.
Agricultural science.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fact, people. The last 10 years of the Edmonton craft beer scene has been a complete 180. Like, it has changed so much. What do you hope for, or what are you looking for in the next 10?
For me, I think I'm just hoping to grow the craft beer scene here in Edmonton and to keep improving upon beer and seeing what comes next and keeping up on, what's new.
I think mostly what I'd like to see is obviously some stability. But then I think what that would then allow, and this is what I'm really looking for, is that Edmonton breweries starts to build a reputation. That Edmonton starts being known a place where the breweries can be reliably known and making interesting beer. You know, there's a wide variety and a range of styles and approaches that you can enjoy a beer experience in Edmonton, that people like who don't live in Edmonton start to know this, right? I mean, I think those of us who are in Edmonton who already know that we've got an interesting diversity, but it's almost like an Edmonton secret. And so I think for the next 10 years, I would like to see that becoming a little bit more of an open secret, that people start to see what Edmonton can offer. I always think that, you know, a microcosm of what I think Edmonton can be is that 78th Avenue, where you've got Bent Stick on the north side, right, in an old soy sauce factory, cobbled together and funky and urban and, you know, and then right across the street, you've got the Monolith, right, with this classy, very European-inspired, and they can coexist across the street from one another. And I think that's brilliant that they can coexist. And in fact, they don't just coexist. I think they really, like, there's this really supportive kind of dynamic between them because they're so different. They can support each other in unique and interesting ways. And so I know there's a lot, you know, we have 22 breweries in Edmonton now. So that's just two. But they just, for me, are one that I always find is kind of cute. Plus, you know, that Wings Factory for longtime Edmontonians is iconic.
I mean, even just Happy Beer Street, truthfully. Mm-hmm. How much did that change the game for the breweries that were involved? And we've seen more breweries come down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's still a couple more slated to open. I think creating those kinds of little pockets, I mean, for the record, I'll say finally publicly, I think Hot Pocket's a better name than Happy Beer Street.
Justice for the North Side.
By creating those kinds of little sort of, neighborhood where you have a collection of breweries gathering together that are either walkable or bikeable, or you can kind of make an afternoon of hitting three or four different breweries without having to drive halfway across the city, is really important for building a beer culture. And I think it's really important for keeping the breweries on friendlier terms, right? Because they kind of are building something together, as opposed to just kind of, well, I'm going to do my thing and I'll get my customers. It's like you building, you know, you getting some customers might help me get some customers and vice versa, right? And I think it's a really important thing to create a broader sort of community amongst the breweries, right? I mean, I think even thinking about the success of the Weird Beer Project in January.
I was going to talk about that, yeah.
Right? You're probably better off to talk about it than me, but like every brewery that participated in it, when I talked to them, was so thrilled at what it did for business for them in January, which is the worst beer
month
in the year.
It was like minus 45 outside. Yeah. And it was standing room only in here.
Weird Beer is a newer winter festival that teams up breweries across the city to create a sort of bucket list. 16 breweries this January had everything from a brisket beer to a Fruit Loop wheat ale, a Caribbean Jerk Stout, and a Fortune Cookie Ale. And Polyrhythm was no exception.
We heated up our beer and served it to people, which is great when it was minus 40, and people loved it. Yeah, it was really cool to just do something weird.
Weird and weird together, I think. Just the list of all the breweries that get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Are we friendlier then? Is it just because we're so dang nice that we're all buddies?
I don't know. We have a taproom staff who's originally from Calgary, and he said they're not as like they don't work together as much as we do here in Edmonton. I can't speak for that, but we all communicate. Like, group buys have been really great, and just trying to have events, just being friendly and working together, and when opportunities come up, sharing the love.
Jason, are we nice?
I mean, I think, you know, yeah, the Edmontonian in me says, well, yeah, it's because we're Edmontonians. Of course we're nicer. I think the more hard-nosed answer is that, I see more cooperation, more friendliness, more collaboration in Edmonton than I do in some other places. In part, I think that might be a factor of size and how the growth in Edmonton was a little slower. And so that meant there was a smaller group of people who kind of needed to work together to survive. When you get a big explosion and suddenly before you know it, you've got 50 breweries, that's a very different dynamic, right? And I think that's part of what, in many ways, that slow growth that we saw may have helped foster a bit more collaboration and cooperation and togetherness amongst Edmonton breweries, because in a way they were kind of in it together. And I think then it's just kind of fostered that culture.
This is Edmonton is a local podcast from CBC. Our senior producer is Leslie Goldstone, and I'm Claire Bonnieman. Thank you so much for listening. This is Edmonton is recorded on Treaty 6 territory, the traditional gathering place of the Cree, Soto, Blackfoot, Métis, Dene, and Nakota Sioux. You can email us a question, comment, or a story idea at thisisyeg@cbc.ca. Leave us a rating or review wherever you download the show. And of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.